Good evening, everyone. It is indeed very hot. Very, very hot. Very, very, very hot here in the southern part of the studio. So we've left all of the windows open. If you hear the sound of rushing air and gasping presenters, you'll know that we died at least trying to stay cool. I'm Rudolf Hucker, and sticking to the seats next to me, we have the inimitable Harry Balzac.
Good evening, Rudolf. Sorry about the sucking sound as I stand up. Still, at least I've got an excuse this week, eh? I do prefer my choice of attire to that of Wilma Fingerdoo, though.
Hey, not my fault I didn't check the forecast. The man in the shop said that this type of PVC would breathe with my skin. But now I feel like I'm slowly drowning from the ankles up. Mia Harkness looks much more comfortable.
That's because I mopped the north end of the studio, and for once, the climate is a positive thing. Mind you, Juan Kier's looking a bit red in the face.
Oh, sorry. Nothing to do with the weather. It's just that I've been in the bar with Cecil drinking so many G&Ts that I've made very, very, very sure that I can't catch malaria. From a space mosquito, obviously. Normus Knockers is looking cool.
I'm always looking cool. Oh, sorry. I'm always cool. I have two big lads from the Pilots Federation waft me with their big fans, and all they ask in return is that I oil their chest on the hour.
The sooner we get on with the show, the sooner we can open the door to the studio and go somewhere cooler. Bong away, tech button-pushing person.
Do they miss their wife as it's lonely out in space?
We accede to helping you succeed in successfully seceding.
Trying Helix? Are you out of your mind?
Time after time after time. All 25 seconds of it.
It's Deja Vu, War Number 2.
Time to expedite the expedition exposition.
Canon Research, those recyclers of tinfoil with a fetish for white coats and an unhealthy tendency to delve, have announced that Commander Sovereign Winter has discovered, as we understand it, something about neutron stars and the angle of the dangle. We're not scientists, so we feel this gives us the right to interpret the results in whatever way suits us best. Sovereign Winter, after some hands-on experimentation, discovered a correlation between how far around you twist it, how far up it'll stick, and how long it is. Apparently, they hope that this will lead to finding spherical objects nearby, after being led to look for such things by drawings on the ground that have been found on many planets. Some at Canon believe that these drawings are ancient totems, showing twin planets and a long, curving path to travel between them. But others claim they're just rude pictures drawn by commanders in their SRVs. Commander Deadmeat GF was contacted for comment, as he is an acknowledged expert in his field, but his only comment was to giggle hysterically.
Galnet was recently ablaze with news of when Azalachu Free seceded from the Federation. And there are rumours that many other systems will be following suit. Always willing to help, the truckers have compiled a short, simple guide to successful secession. If you've decided to be a splitter and start your own one-planet authority, follow these straightforwardly simple steps. Stage 1. Start an independent faction. This is simple. Pick a name that represents none of your ideals. Tell people nothing about yourself. But it's not too different from other factions that exist. Do always remember to add peoples, popular, or free in the name of your new factions. And indeed, many splendid factions have played safe and incorporated all three. Stage 2. Take your home system. obvious, we would have thought, you need a territory to call your own, and it's a lot easier to start where you live. You can go home at the end of each day's warring, and you don't need to take a packed lunch when going off into battle. If you don't get past this hurdle, then it's best to change your name, go for some holo surgery on your face, and get used to looking over your shoulder for the rest of your life. Stage 3. Take nearby systems. Now it's time to worry about real politics, as your measly little system isn't going to last very long in your hands if you curb your ambition at this point. Here's where you start to learn about consolidating your power base and introducing your neighbouring systems to your new way of life that's very different from anything they've ever had before. And of course, they'll be grateful that you've liberated them, won't they? It is vital that you bring as many systems as possible in this phase under your benign wing, showing them how much freer they are, even if you have to do it with brutal repression. The reason for this is that you will eventually need to stage 4, fight off the Federation, or from whoever you wrestled control of your home system in the first place. Here you will need to get as much help as possible, maybe by convincing outsiders that you'd be a much better friend than an enemy, maybe by offering to fly them somewhere on a fleet carrier and then threatening to leave them stranded if they don't help, or even maybe by the most time-honored method of all, bribery. Assuming that this phase goes well and their ticker tape parades in your honor do not feature grassy knolls, then you can take the final and most important step. Stage 5. Make rude jokes about their president. It is vital that insults about the president of the Federation or other leader, see stage 4, are bandied about at this time to show the populace that you have no fear of them. No, sir, not even if they do whisper to you in your nightmares. Remember, follow these rules, and you too can secede successfully.
Somewhere in the galaxy, in fact, many somewheres, it's midsummer, or midwinter, or the start of spring, or there's a music festival, or maybe just a gathering of students after their last exam with nothing to do for 3 months. There will be a religious cult trying to be transcendent, or a former chemistry teacher in a clapped-out trailer trying to make his fortune. Whatever the case, someone is out to make a quick few credits out of them. Push and Hush and Lazarus. Legal in some places, but in others prohibited on pain of death, stroke being fined for loitering in the snack aisle with the munchies, stroke having various body bits chopped off. As with beer, wine, spirits, and of course the Kometra cigars, oh so loved by engineers, wherever there are humans, there are likely to be people who enjoy licking that particular colour of toad or drinking that herbal tea with some of Grandma's special cakes. Cue the latest arrival on the grey market. Helix. Or to be more precise, Onion Head Gamma Strain. Rumoured to be back on sale across the galaxy. All right, only from industrial anarchies. Onion Head Gamma Strain is purported to be made from special secret ingredients and a weaker strain of the widely outlawed Squidgy Beetle or Alpha Red varieties. Now, we're suspicious, of course, of putting anything in our bodies that hasn't gone through the stills at the orbital first, having been recycled and filtered through at least 1,000 other bodies first. And, of course, checking that those other bodies haven't grown an extra limb or gone for a permanent nap. The idea of secret recipe on a mostly illegal substance fills us with an enormous sense of foreboding. As if a million hippies all cried out, "Whoa!" at once and then were suddenly silent. Of course, if you do get your hands on some Helix and get caught by the Omnicops, we've heard that's painful, then there's only one thing for it. Better call Saul.
Is there an echo in here? No. But there is one in the Hutton Games Room as your latest release of the Pilots Federation Entertainment Division has been dropped off, then picked up, then dropped off, then picked up in a slightly different way, then dropped off again. Yes, it's the Time Looktastic first-person turn-based team shoot-em-up, Lenny Skate, and people are going loopy over the pre-release version delivered to every starport in the galaxy. If bashing scavengers with the butt of your rifle, helping them tidy up all the things that they've left lying around like some king of crazed kleptowomble, and engaging in dominator-on-dominator action in a war zone isn't enough excitement for you, then you can kick back in the Games Room Simulator with your very own copy of Lenis Gate. 25 seconds to seconds, and what a serving you can dish up for your opponents. Time-bending antics worthy of a blue police box occupant who has too much sugar. Cecil's gone loopy over Lenis Gate. Join him for a round or two in the Games Room, then the round or two on the bar after. Is there an echo in here?
Incoming encrypted transmission. Decrypting. Decryption complete.
Stand by for a message from Haxcom Actual.
Okay, Haxwing. Tharg hit two systems in the Pleiades today. Both are Operation Ida systems, and one is a key industrial hub for the Pleiades sector. We're coming to their defense and kicking Tharg back out of those systems. We'll start with Pleiades Sector HR-WD1-41, and when that system is cleared, move on to Pleiades Sector KC-VC2-11. You can hunt down Thargoids and non-human signal sources. You'll find scouts only in signal source threats 3 and 4. 5 and higher will be large numbers of scouts, interceptors, or a mix of the two. If you're up for a long fight, support the local forces in the AX conflict zones. There, you'll fight waves of scouts and interceptors until you force Tharg to withdraw. For our search and rescue pilots, Kipling Orbital and Malthus Terminal both have civilians and non-essential crew that need evacuation to the nearby rescue ships. For anyone on their first rescue runs, make sure you have heat sinks packed since it will be hot there. Also remember, the automated docking will be offline, and random explosions may bounce you around in the docking barrel. It's a challenge, but those people need our help. Finally, a statement regarding the current role of the Fargod cult building megaships in the Panjabel system. While Haxcom views these individuals as misguided and potentially dangerous, we will not direct and do not condone attacks on any shipments delivered to Moore Hub in support of that goal. Let's focus our efforts on defending the Pleiades, truckers. That's it, Haxwing. Time to earn our pay. Keep your eyes on the signal sources and always be ready to defend the mug.
Haxcom message complete. Defend the mug.
Encrypted transmission complete.
With one exception, to which I shall come in a moment, it is a pretty quiet, if sweaty, time in Hutton Space. Almost all blue across the threat board. So, to the exception. Despite winning last week's war, it's déjà vu in Van Marlen Star, as frustratingly, we're at war again with the pirates. Hutton found itself snookered into second place by the dreaded double tick despite winning the first war. So within a day, we are back at it again with the pirates, and O'Connor City is on the line for a second time. However, well-versed and practiced in the art of losing, the pirates are now successfully doing it for a second time in quick succession as Hutton are currently pummeling them into the void. Happily, Hutton lost the war in Bialtaka, you know, the last place we expanded into that we didn't want. The extended infrastructure failure in Avik was eventually fettled, probably by fitting some cut-price water-damaged water filters and cheap Ulterian power generators. Next time, perhaps we should stop the pinging and constant alarms from the station management system by turning off the alarm and maybe by taking out the warning bulb. We have 5 systems below 40% this week. Barnard Star on 31 needs immediate attention, and as no other factions are in wars or elections, now is your time to make it count. Wolf 25 and Epsilon Eridani are on 35%, and Epsilon Indy, which is slowly recovering, is on 39%. VMS, which of course I just mentioned, is on 33%. At the top end of the systems league, the usual half dozen overheated systems are doing their thing over 60%, but nothing too daft, with LP532-81 out in front on 73. Priorities this week are, if you want to truck something, make the most of the piece in Barnard's Star to boost Hutton influence, then go to Wolf 25 and Epsilon Eridani. If you want to shoot something, unlike last week, you can try to fire the last shot of the war in Avic.
I've got a nice crop of news from community-led events around the galaxy this week, and as usual, links will be posted in chat and in the YouTube description. Firstly, Commander Mephisto has news from the Captain's Chair on the Fleet Carrier Console, which is visiting all the 124 waypoints of the Cannon Challenge, allowing even novice explorers to go far afield. The next waypoints on the Comfy Cannon Cruise, number 56 through 58, showed the first kind of sinuous tubers and kind of K, P and T-type anomaly each. Commander Bellinger was promoted to Scout in honour of his service providing points of interest along the route. Khonsu is now stationed at a tritium hotspot to refuel just outside the nebula around the black hole of waypoint 58, as she will make her long way to the east end of the Milky Way soon. Commander Yannick has an update from the Apollo 15 anniversary expedition, which is heading for the lovely worlds of David and Goliath. The expedition has moved through the early waypoints in a variety of different nebulae, with each nebula making an interstellar marker along our route. We have a real coup for the expedition with none other than Commander Satsuma of Distant Worlds Science Corps fame. He has brought a similar DW-style dedicated science department to the expedition. Presently, he's leading a survey to measure the galaxy in greater detail than before, including measures of stellar density in and around our route. Also of note, we recently had a neutron-boosted mass jump across the neutron star. The spectacle was both beautiful and haunting at the same time. As explorers, we live for such moments. The Rook platoon explores the Land Down Under expedition is underway, and Commander Nicole Dyson, our mission liaison, has sent us this report of the early days. Successful mass launches. We had our main one for Europe and Pacific, and another one later for North America. Both took around an hour to organise, and we have many videos of them. We are still in the process of reaching our first waypoint. In the meantime, a lot of us got to make our first footfalls on some atmospheric worlds and take our first exobiology samples. An exobiology research initiative was formed within our expedition to try and catalogue all the different plants and specifically where to find them and if sunlight affects that. This is only our second day on the trip. Many more updates will come after the end of stage one. It seems that King Hanky's rogue clone that took over the fleet carrier Empress Fury during his trip to the party at the end of the galaxy and forced pilots to work for Hotcall if they ever wanted to escape has decided that a little R&R is warranted if he wants to keep people from tunnelling out. So this weekend he's got two events. On Saturday at 2000 BST, there's fun at Ishman's / Salome's Reach, and no expense has been spared on the marketing for this event, as it's described as just a bit of fun pottering about on a planet. If that weren't exciting enough, on Sunday at 2030 BST, there's fun at Beagle Point, and the hyperbolic description for this is a bit of fun at Beagle Point. Look, they may not sound like the highest entertainment that the galaxy's got to offer, but kidnapped beggars can't be choosers. And, As always with Elite Dangerous, the fun comes from what you put into it. And B, it's got to be better than staring at a poster of Rita Hayworth all weekend. Lastly this week, it's that time of the month. It's CQC Saturday at 2100 BST. And Commander Venetia invites everyone with, "This month, many of our commanders are headed to Beagle Point for a little exploration and relaxation. You should come out for our monthly CQC event, though. This is great practice for people with no combat experience, as there is no rebuy." For everyone taking part in these events, stay safe, have fun, and never fly without rebuy. For everyone else, don't forget that there's nothing stopping you from organising their own event. All you need is an idea, a place to do it, and friends. And we're happy to publicise your event so that you have some friends